Well, good evening and welcome to St Andrews. It's not quite late enough yet to wish you Merry Christmas, but I will anyway. As we think about the Christmas message first, a word of warning about the video I'm going to show you in just a moment. It has been banned from screening in cinemas in the United Kingdom. It's a beautiful film. It's a certificate U, so there's no dodgy business going on. The plan was to show the film before Christmas at the screenings of the new Star Wars film. Well, here is the film that was banned.
Our Father in heaven.
The prayer that we heard in that film is commonly known as the Lord's Prayer. It's about 63 words, takes less than a minute to pray it. It's the prayer that Jesus teaches his followers to pray as a model, a pattern of how to pray on at least two occasions, probably more, in the accounts of Jesus' life that we have that Matthew and Luke give us. They record it. In Luke's Gospel, Jesus says to us, "When you pray, say, Father, or Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation." This is a prayer prayed by billions of people every day in virtually every language on the planet. In every single moment of every single day, someone, somewhere, is praying these words. For many children, it's the first prayer that we learn to pray. And I have prayed it as the last prayer people pray with friends close to their moment of death. Two reasons why the Lord's Prayer is vital to all of us this Christmas. The first reason, the Lord's Prayer says that God is interested in you. Because the most important thing about prayer is who it is you are praying to. Are they interested in you? Are they interested in you enough to care or maybe do something? If not, then you are wasting your time and your breath, and your words will simply bounce back off the ceiling. Sometimes we treat God like he's the ATM machine at the end of the universe. You know, we just key in the right numbers, and it's bound to work for us. Sometimes we feel we struggle to attract God's attention, and we think it's a bit like a kind of cosmic waiter. Have you noticed in the restaurant how when you want to catch the waiter's attention, it never happens? Do they give them a special course about how to avoid your eye? Or how not to notice when your hand is in the air? Or perhaps for you, you feel like giving up on the whole business of prayer. Because God to you seems like one of those terrible recorded voices that you hear when you call the customer service hotline. You hear the dreaded words, "In order to serve you better." Yes, in order to serve you better, we are going to give you a baffling menu of random numbers to press to ensure you give up before the annoying music we are playing you causes you to lose the will to live and you actually get to talk to a real human being. Now, in contrast, the Lord's Prayer begins with the word "Father" or "Our Father in heaven." This is a picture of someone who is interested in you, God wants to relate to you like a precious son or daughter that he cares about. I mean, people are interested in their children, their offspring. Some of you here know our former vicar, my friend John Munier. And whenever I send John an email or a WhatsApp, in every reply, he includes a completely gratuitous picture of his grandson, Oscar. He's a cute child. But I haven't had the courage to say to my friend John, after the first one or two pictures, John, enough. You know, I'm not actually interested anymore. Your grandson, not mine. But God is interested in you. Because God comes to earth as a child at Christmas so that you can become a child of God. Did you hear that in the reading from John? That to those that believe in his name, he gives the power to become children of God. All that horrible, risky, messy stuff that God's take on in becoming a human being, all that flesh, the blood, the bone, the sinew, placentas, hair, teeth, germs, grime, all that stuff is for you and me. The birth of Jesus is the key step in the story that means you and me can become children of God. Our Father in heaven is the birthright of Christians at prayer. If the message of Christmas is true, if, and I accept that you may not have come yet to believe that, it's a big if, but if it is true, this means that the sovereign creator, the king of the universe, invites you to call him Father. In the UK royal family, Prince Charles has many titles. It's according to Wikipedia, so it must be true. He is the heir apparent to the crown, His Royal Highness, the Prince of Wales, Duke of Cornwall, Knight of the Garter, Colonel-in-Chief of the Royal Regiment of Wales, Duke of Rothesay, Knight of the Thistle, Commander of the Royal Navy, Great Master of the Order of Bath, Earl of Chester, Earl of Carrick, Baron of Renfrew, Lord of the Isles, and Great Steward of Scotland. Impressive titles. But his children, William and Harry, get to call him Father. Because of Christmas, the King of all the universe invites you to come to him as Father. So I said two reasons why Christmas, the Lord's Prayer, is vital to us all at Christmas. First reason, the Lord's Prayer says God is interested in you. You get to call the King of the universe Father. Second reason, if you pray this prayer from your heart every day, well, every day will be Christmas for you. Because the Lord's Prayer shows us what it's like to live every day in the light and love of Christmas. One year in the UK, there was an advertising campaign in the run-up to Christmas, and the tagline was, "A dog is for life, not just for Christmas." The idea was to persuade people not to give cute-looking puppies to children at Christmas because someone is going to have to spend the rest of their life cleaning up after them. I think I mean the dog here rather than the children, but there you go. At that point, I wanted to start the campaign, Christmas is for life, not just for Christmas. Because if we grasp the meaning of Christmas, it changes how we live life every day, not just December the 25th. Because the Lord's Prayer, if we pray it from our heart, puts God at the center of our life. We say to God things like, "Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven." If I may paraphrase the prayer, we are saying to God, "Heavenly Father, you come first. I want more than anything else to see signs of your wonderful kingdom here on earth. So as I go home or to work or I face that difficult conversation I'd much rather avoid, my biggest concern is you and your kingdom, not me." Well, I guess that disqualifies about 80% of my praying. But just try going through a week where every day you pray this kind of prayer, every day from your heart, aiming to keep God, not you, at the center of things. I promise it will make a difference. And once we have God at the center, but not before, but once we have God at the center, then the Lord's Prayer encourages us to pray for our legitimate needs. Our legitimate needs for resources, help, for forgiveness, as we forgive others. As we forgive. Maybe there goes another 10% of my prayer life. Because deep down, we know that selfish prayers are no prayers at all. It's like the geography student who hasn't studied all year and he prays at the end of his disastrous exam, "Lord, please make Sydney the capital of New Zealand." No chance, sorry, on so many levels that is not going to happen. There was a recent survey taken in the United States of people's genuine prayer concerns, the things that people were prepared to own up to having prayed for in the last week. And I think we can see some of those results on a picture on the screen. There we go. Some of them, well, not so bad, but 21% of people had prayed to win the lottery. Your favorite team to win a game, 13%. I think I'd probably find myself in that category. Finding a good parking spot. Understandable in TST. Not getting caught speeding is perhaps less honourable, 7%. But maybe worst of all, 5% of people, 1 in 20, praying for success in something you knew wouldn't please God. It's not a prayer. I think that's probably enough of the statistics. Thank you. But when you pray the Lord's Prayer from your heart, you say every day you put the God who comes to you in love at Christmas at the very heart of your life, the very center, and there's nothing better. There is no more human, no more joyful, no more glorious way to live than like that. There's nothing better. A friend of mine, Stephen Croft, he's Bishop of Sheffield, and he was writing about this ban of this Lord's Prayer film. It was banned by Digital Cinema Media, the body that handles British film advertising for the major cinema chains. And he wrote this very wisely. He said, "There are only 63 words in the Lord's Prayer. It takes less than a minute to say them. Yet these words shape our identity, give purpose to our lives, check our greed, remind us of our imperfections, offer a way of reconciliation, build resilience in our spirits, and call us to live to the glory of our Creator. No wonder they have been banned in the boardrooms of consumer culture." Prayer is for everyone because God is for everyone. If the Christmas story is true, if it's true, then the Creator, the sovereign King of the universe, wants to hear from you. Don't just say tonight, "Well, bye God. Bye-bye. Maybe see you next week or next month or next year or whenever." Remember the two reasons why the Lord's Prayer is important to everyone. The first reason, the Lord's Prayer says that God is interested in you. He wants you to be able to call him Father. The second reason, if you pray this prayer from your heart every day, will be Christmas for you.